Blockbus.net Podcast Network.
Brand spanking new edition to Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very topical top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
The Olympics are going on, Wes. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we created our own Olympic pentathlon.
That is right.
We're doing five different things Olympic related that you are going to be participating with us. So
we got a lot of show coming at you, so let's get to it.
I was going to say let's get to it.
You can say it.
Let's get to it! Wes, I did something bold and unexpected this last week.
I can't wait to hear what it is.
I think you and I are in the similar boat where we don't...
Well, we are in the same boat right now.
We are in this very small dinghy, lost at sea, with only this podcast recording equipment.
Yes, so if you hear this, send help.
Please, my God. We don't go to the theatre often, the movie theater.
Yes.
Unless it's, you know, something we've... got to see.
Like we Marvel.
Gotta see Civil War. We have to see Star Wars. Like, if we don't, like, it's almost an obligation to go to it.
Yeah.
Because even in the movies I get excited to go to, I get there and I realize why I fucking hate the movie theater.
Why is that?
Stanky, loud, ignorant people.
What movie theaters are you going to?
I go to...
Stanky, loud, ignorant theater.
Have you been there? Stanky, loud...
Steve, I think 14. I know your problem.
Stanky, loud, and rude 14. It's off of Cicero. It's fantastic.
I think I know the problem, Steve. Might want to try a different theater.
So, I feel like there's all... I'm always next to the dude that's on his phone.
Yeah.
I'm always next to the guy that's... Or, like, the old person that's crinkling their old candy. You know, like, we watched 25 minutes of previews, and no one... Like, it's silence. And then it starts here... for their goddamn Werther's Originals. So.
That's so interesting because I've been to a bunch of different theaters here in the city, and I haven't had that experience.
I get so... As you know, I'm it's hard for me to get really, really, like, upset, like, mad about something legitimately.
Okay.
But I am very quick to frustration.
Sure.
Very quick. I'm really good at, like... huge life events. Like, all right, fine. Let's figure out a way to... I understand. Your car has exploded. All of your belongings were inside. All right, let's figure out what you've got, what we can do. I'm like, this guy didn't use his turn signal! Like, oh!
I mean, that's how I describe you to people. Like, Steve, he's just a walking pile of potential frustration.
A more accurate depiction of me has never been said.
That's right.
So... I decided that I wanted to go see a movie that was completely unexpected, that I had no idea it existed, but on Saturday morning I was perusing around on Reddit, and I'm pretty sure the movie studio posted this on there. I was like, hey, check out this movie trailer to this Korean zombie flick.
Oh, cool.
It looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I watched the 2-minute trailer. I'm like, you're right. This does look pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, Holly, pack your stuff. We're going to the movie theater. She's like, what are we going to see? And I was like, we're going to see Train to Busan. She's like, okay.
Well, how creepy would it be if she said, oh, I've been wanting to see that.
And actually, that night, we had friends, because we went to go see it the next day. That night, our buddy Mike, who's been on the podcast, I was like, hey, man, I think tomorrow we're going to go see this Korean zombie movie. And he goes, oh, you mean Train to Busan?
See, that doesn't surprise me, though, because if anybody would know it, it'd be Mike.
And I was like, are you serious? It's like, how do you know about this movie? He's like, yeah, some guy that, you know, I used to work with, I ran into him, and he was like, man, I just saw this awesome, he told me, and I wanted to go see it. I'm like, all right, well, let's go see it. So we go to the movie theater the next day. Loud, ignorant, and dumb,
stanky.
Smelly, stankalicious 19.
Yep.
It's got an IMAX there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the smell is everywhere.
They pronounce it IMAX. It's weird.
And the three of us go, and of, let's say, 75 people in the theater, the three of us are the only white people in the entire theater. All the rest of it are like Korean, you know, South Pacific area, you know, like... I was like, that is a good sign to me.
Yeah.
Like, that is a good sign. I like that. So, and of course, the dude next to me is playing solitaire on his phone.
Of course.
For the first 10 minutes of the movie. And then as soon as he puts it away, it is time for some cough drops.
Oh, God.
Ooh, rough crinkle cough drops.
These zombies are giving me dry mouth.
And the movie is really pretty good.
Cool.
It's a solid movie. But
are you talking about Train to Busan?
Oh, my God! And when I went, it had a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Which is a little higher than I would give it for sure. But it was a good movie.
What would you give it?
I would give Train to Busan probably like an 83, 84.
Okay.
Solid.
Solid.
Solid movie.
See,
solid.
I thought you were going to tell me that you went to see Suicide Squad. And I couldn't wait to hear your rant about it.
No. But I wanted to bring up something that I found interesting because apparently the Koreans and the Asian sector over there, they don't do zombie movies often.
Okay.
Unlike we have over the last, 10 years, just be, zombie, 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 zombie. So to see their take on it was interesting in the regards that, so the basic idea is this. They're on a train, that is traveling. So the outbreak begins basically like right as they get on the train, and then a couple people are infected, and then, so they're on this enclosed space moving towards Busan. And so, which is a really, it's a great setup for the movie. It's awesome. And so, of course, they can get off and go to another train station, and whatever happens there, and they move on. And it's a story about a father and his maybe, 7-year-old daughter. And they're kind of their relationship is kind of on the outs. He works too much, blah, blah, blah. She wants to go see her mom. So that's why they're taking the train to go see her mother. And it becomes a story, of those two bonding and, whatever. But the way they do the zombies, there were no weapons used on the train against the zombies except for a baseball bat and a baton.
Okay.
No knives, no guns, no ripping off zombies' jaws or blasting them through the eye or smashing their heads in or...
Dude, knives and guns are zombie 101.
I know. That's why... But they just went with bats. No axes, no knives, no...
Are the bats a little sharper?
They are some blunt-ass bats.
Damn it!
I know. So, they're hitting zombies in the head and they're going down, but, everyone knows that image, smashing a zombie in the head and the brains go flying and the blood splatters on the wall, all that classic horror/zombie stuff. It wasn't there. Really, the only blood in the movie really was when the zombies would be up at a window or a door and like pawing at the glass, they would have, blood that would kind of go up, but it was kind of faint blood anyway. It was, the zombies moved well, and they were fast moving zombies. They weren't crawlers.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an entertaining movie, and I never disbelieved the zombies or anything like that, but it was weird, this cultural difference on there, where here in the U.S. it's got to be bigger, bloodier.
Oh yeah,
more gruesome, whatever. And it wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
I could have used a little bit of it, but
sure.
It was just an interesting thing, I guess, to me.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
So you'd recommend it though, even without the blood and gore.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's
the dull bats.
Yeah, with those blunt ass bats. Yeah, I think if you have the opportunity to watch it and you like zombie movies in general, definitely worth your time, I think. It's cool.
Sure, sure.
It's cool.
Well, I saw a movie this past Monday. On Amazon Prime, I watched the movie Room with Brie Larson.
Yeah, she won the Oscar for Best Actress in that.
Yeah, it destroyed me.
That's why I didn't watch it.
Yeah, it's harrowing and emotional. Yeah. And I awful is coming to mind. It's not awful, but it was awful what it did to me.
Sure.
I just could not stop crying the whole last second half of it. Because, I mean, I don't... Do you care about spoilers?
I do, actually, because Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I am going to see it. And if I know it's on Amazon Prime and I can watch it now...
Okay.
I will.
Okay. Well, because
every once in a while, I'll take a good cry.
Yeah,
I'll pretend like I don't want it. But sometimes I need to cleanse that palate. Sometimes
you're playing coy with the cry.
I am. I don't want it, baby. I can't.
I don't want it. Playing tough to get.
Okay, maybe just a little cry. Just a little cry.
Oh God! Oh God! This is why we don't like to see you cry. Here, have a butterscotch.
No! I'm quick to violent tears and frustration.
So yeah, watch that. I watched the movie Creed on Tuesday night.
Was this the first time you've seen it?
Yep.
What'd you think?
I liked it. It had something going against it.
What's that?
I was watching it at a lady friend's house, and she has a really loud AC, and she lives right by an L train stop.
Ooh.
As well.
Yeah.
So for most of the first hour, I have problems hearing a lot of the time. Especially
yeah.
when Sylvester Stallone comes on, he's talking
yeah.
like this. So I couldn't hear half the shit that was going on. But the last half, I really liked.
Yeah, it's... I know I talked about it briefly a little bit around Oscar time, but like, I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. It's a really very good movie.
I think it was interesting how they kind of rebooted Rocky, but not. It was still a continuation.
Right.
But it was pretty much a reboot.
Yeah. You nailed it on the head. That's right. I think it's
Thank
good, though.
Thank you.
Again, another good watch, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know why this, speaking of my lady friend, I don't know why this really rubbed me the wrong way. So I had to get supplies. I don't know why I'm being coy about it. I had to get condoms the other day.
Yes. Like pencils? Notebooks?
Yeah, school supplies. Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Back to school time.
Yeah, I had to go get condoms. So I went to the Walgreens close to me. And I realized, I mean, I bought condoms there many times before. It's the first time that I've noticed the name of the section that they're in. It's called,
let me guess what it, because I have not bought condoms there in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate Walgreens, period. is it called sexual?
Oh boy!
It's
okay. Fuck accessories.
Fuckeries. Yep. It's in the fuckeries section.
No, it's in the family planning section.
What?
I know. Thank you. Like, I don't want to be thinking about that.
Maybe that's why they put it there.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, actually. The family planning section should be like the alcohol section. Because if you're buying condoms, you're obviously thinking about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I got to make sure that doesn't happen. But like,
sure,
the
sure.
dude that's like already coming from the bar and the girl is there and he's like, you know what? I really could use another fifth of Jameson. Like, yes, sir. Why don't you go to our family planning section? You know what? Maybe just a bottle of water will be fine.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, why is the lube in the family planning section?
What section do you think it should be in?
Oils and ointments.
that is a totally appropriate answer.
Thank you.
However, I would also try to go there if I were walking through, like, where is it? I'm looking for Pam cooking spray. It's right next to the lube, sir. You know what? I'm going to take my business elsewhere. Thank you.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know why that rubbed me so wrong. It just did.
Man.
It's like, I've been seeing this lady for 2 months, a little over 2 months. It's like, I don't want to be having sex and be like, man, thank God we planned ahead for this family.
God, yeah. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it's a really heavy-handed way to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Family planning.
What would be a better name for that? That's still family friendly.
I don't know.
Family planning friendly.
Boner covers.
Dick socks.
Dick socks. You got it. That's easy to explain to your little daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Just prophylactics.
Yeah, but I mean that's a
big word.
It's a big word, and it's more than that though. It's not just condoms.
Because
there's other. Sexual accoutrement there you go.
Sexual accoutrement,
because that's definitely easier to say.
How about closed door antics?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. The behind closed doors aisle.
No, yeah.
There's a curtain you have to go.
Ooh,
with.
Ooh. Yeah,
and, but no black lights.
Sure, of course.
Can't have
they're
that.
Just candles.
Just ooh,
just like lit what, candles.
Can there be the erotic section?
Erotica.
Erotica section.
Ooh, yes.
We're veering off the path here a little bit.
I don't know.
It's like, yeah, what if there's someone there just like, well, you're shopping, gives you a hand job, huh?
Yeah, it'd be great. Family planning.
That'd be awful. I don't want to go anywhere where they offer me a hand job.
Because you know it wouldn't be from somebody who you'd want a hand job from.
Here's my Incredible Hulk answer. That's the thing. I never want a hand job.
Oh, that's true. We talked about it.
I never want a hand job.
It's going to be 20 minutes of just dry chafing by the 16-year-old guy named Colin.
Hello, welcome to Walgreens. I will be your hand job associate. Please present your wiener and begin. Did you know we also have a special on peanut brittle?
Like, Colin, shut up. I'm trying to make this happen here.
Colin, I can't leave here until you're done, so please just shut up.
I really have a lot of stuff to buy. Could you just follow me around?
Where do you keep your pistachios?
In the fuck accessories.
Wow. I really need to leave. Please hurry this up. Actually, could you? I think that may be the worst way to kill me is to give me like Steve, for the mass murder of people who use cough drops in movie theaters, you've been sentenced to death. Death by dry hand job.
Like, death by what?
Dry hand job.
What?
Welcome to Texas.
What, is firing squad an option?
Nope. Just dry hand jobs.
Oddly enough, this crime in Texas went down significantly.
God, that would be the worst way to die, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Especially because it'd take you forever.
It'd take forever, man.
Yeah.
Ugh.
There'd be no happy ending.
But,
Yeah. Well, see, before we move into this week's top five, we got some emails written in from last week's top five, which was our top five Council of Wise Men.
I gotta tell you something, Wes.
What's that?
You beat me last week with the guy from Dead Poets Society.
Steve, this is not a competition.
Yes, it is.
Well, you consider it a competition.
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you, all week I was like, God damn it. I've honestly thought about it 15 times. I'm like, shit, I should have put him on.
Now I
him
forget.
Instead of Al Swearengen, and I feel really good about my five.
Yeah.
But I
last yeah. week, the best man finally won.
Finally. It only took about 150 or so, but we got there.
Hey, 140.
You have beaten me before.
That's right. One time
there
before.
There was that one time.
But you see, I don't consider it a competition. I consider it just two friends comparing opinions.
Well, you're never going to get to the Olympics that way, Wes.
Steve, these are opinions. There's not one isn't better than the other. They're just opinions.
Does that mean that the opinion Olympics is like running for president? Is that what it is?
You just blew my mind. Anyway, Council of Wise Men. We got a bunch of emails written in, but we only have time to read a few. We're going to start with Oscar. All right. His number five is Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty.
Okay. All right. Mentor type role. All right.
He says, as council members go, he would probably be the one with the worst advice. I'd be coming from a drunken state of mind because he's an alcoholic, but he's always there for Morty. And I would come to him for the quick fix, like if I need something now. He'd give me a gadget or invention, and with not much of a moral compass, he'd do anything to get the job done.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. His number four is John Luther from the BBC show Luther.
Oh, with Idris Elba, right?
Yeah. You ever seen it?
I've not.
It's an interesting. I don't think he's a mentor to anybody.
It's all I know is it's been sitting on my Netflix queue for about 2 years.
I recommend it. It's only like 14 episodes all told, and it's great.
All right.
His number three is Dr. Cox from Scrubs. He is getting a lot of abuse from his bottom three.
Yeah, he's
Jesus Christ.
Oscar, you're a glutton for punishment, man.
His number two would
be the next one.
He, Oscar, let me tell you how numbers work. He wrote it down 5-4-3-4-5. Oscar, baby, boobala.
This is why you need a council of wise men.
That's right.
Hopefully there's a mathematician in there.
I assume his number two, then, is Jonathan Kent from Smallville. The grounded, salt-of-the-earth Kansas raised farmer, he has the love and advice to even raise Superman. He may not know all the answers, but he will always find a way to work it out.
Okay. Like, you got a real solid dad character right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
His number one, I assume, is Sean McGuire from Good Will Hunting. Robin Williams character. Another
Ooh.
Robin Williams character making a list.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. That's a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's a, maybe it's just the one story. I feel like he's a bit too sad, isn't the word.
Glum?
Maybe a little glum.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit glum for me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good pick. A very good pick.
I was debating between him and John Keating.
I mean, Keating, as I've already said.
Of course, I won. But let's move on to another email. Duncan Parker Newton Gaines writes
Parker
in.
Girls.
Now, I'm reading this because he settles a debate we had last week between what's the difference between intelligence and wisdom. He says, intelligence is knowing that a street is one way. Wisdom is looking both ways anyway. How about that shit?
As you say it as if it were your own words.
That's right.
That's right, Steve. Suck it.
Suck that shit. Whatever. His number five is Bugenhagen, final from Final Fantasy VII.
Wait, who?
Bugenhagen? Bugenhagen?
Yeah.
Red 8's grandfather is someone you revisit multiple times throughout the game.
Yes. Absolutely. He basically lives in like an observatory in the canyon area.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good pick.
I mean, he doesn't seem all that wise to me.
Well, his number four is Professor X from X-Men.
Yeah, it's a good
solid
pick.
Solid pick. His number three is Hank Scorpio from The Simpsons.
Really?
My villain pick. Evil as he is, he genuinely cares about the people who works for him, so you know his advice will come from a good place.
Yeah, because we were just talking about Hank Scorpio the week before.
Yeah, okay. His number two is the Ancient One from Doctor Strange. This is his female pick, which I was lamenting last week that I could not think of a good female sage.
Good.
And he wanted to write this one in. I'm not familiar with Doctor Strange at all, so did not think of her.
I also just saw the first trailer for Doctor Strange.
Ooh, and you hate trailers.
I do hate trailers. But with something like Doctor Strange, I don't mind it necessarily because I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
So I'm like, I don't even know if I want to see that or not. And seeing the movie or seeing the trailer, I was like, I still don't know if I want to see this.
Let me tell you, Steve, you do.
Okay.
His number one, and I'm going to read it verbatim, Master fucking Splinter.
Okay,
three of you, no one picks Splinter. Hang your heads in shame.
No, I thought about it.
I did too.
I thought about it. Let's see why Duncan Parker Newton Gaines put it on the list.
That's all he said. Between three of you, no one picks Splinter.
What? No, hang your heads in
shame. I'm sorry. That's all he put?
I mean,
he's a wise character. He's obviously a mentor.
Obviously. Your base criteria is met with Splinter, no doubt about it. And I don't want to rain on the Splinter parade.
Sure.
But I'm saying, basically, to me, he is a rat version of a kung fu master guy. You know, and quite honestly, I would rather open my inner sanctum area here and not see a giant talking rat at me.
Oh, not even a rat. A sewer rat.
A sewer rat.
Ooh.
Splinter's great. There's no doubt about it.
Do we know if they have bathroom facilities down there? Like shower, personal hygiene?
I mean, I think they live in the facility. I think that's where they live, the runoff of the facilities.
It's like, Splinter, if you're going to stay here, you need to visit that shower, buddy.
I mean, the thing is, Splinter is wise.
Yeah.
Splinter is also like a good friend. He's got the fun-loving part of him as well. But that character, those traits are found in other characters that aren't giant talking rats. And there's some people that definitely want a giant talking rat in there, and that's cool. But it's gonna it's gonna take a long time for me to walk in there and not be like, oh God, oh God, oh my God, there's a giant rat in here. Gandalf, did anyone tell you? You're sitting next to a giant rat.
Someone get the broom. Get that thing out of here.
My God.
Our friend Kyle Curry writes in his top.
Oh, Kyle.
Yeah. His number four is President David Palmer from 24. Solid pick. His number four is President Laura Roslin from Battlestar Galactica. Now, the only thing I would say is I don't think these are mentor characters.
I didn't watch 24, so that I don't know.
Mm.
Rosalind, is she?
I don't think they're mentors.
I think, is it Ama? What's it, Amada? What's the main?
What are you saying to me?
The Edward James Olmos character in,
yeah.
What's his name?
Almeida. Oh my God! Everyone's screaming at us. Almeida. Amada.
Didn't I? You? I just said, and you said, "What the hell are you talking
Amada
about?"
Amada Patata.
I think I think he is the mentor character in this show.
Uh-huh.
I think. So,
Adama.
Adama. Close.
Yes.
Close. I mean, no, I would give it mentor. I'd give it, she is kind of the word, like, she is kind of the rational side. Towards the end, she kind of becomes more like a, there's a little more romanticism with her, with the, you know, and, like, some more personal thoughts. But at the beginning, she is a, like, a political kind of figure fighting for what is right.
Sure.
So I'll say okay.
Okay, okay. I'm going to rip through these the last three because we're running out of time. Number three is Spock Prime, i.e. old-ass original Spock circa the new Star Trek reboots or the Next Generation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Spock is no doubt.
His number two is Professor X, X-Men.
Yep.
His number one is Rupert Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Ah, there it is.
There it is. Thank you, Kyle. You know I couldn't pick it, but now, I certainly thought of him.
Now let me ask: if you were able to Joss Whedon this shit, where would he have fallen on your list?
I need to look at my list last week.
Would he have made the list?
He might have. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he would have been fighting down there 4-5 area.
He probably would have knocked Hitch out.
You know, man, I think Hitch is a good pick for you and where you're at.
Oh,
I
sure.
Think Hitch is good.
Okay. Okay. We'll see.
I think Professor X is a great pick. What was number three? Spock, right?
Spock Prime.
Yeah. Spock is... The only problem with Spock for me is that I can't... He'll tell me the right thing, and then I'll try to make like a little quip about it, and Spock will be like, shut up. Go do it. Like, ah, damn it, Spock.
Anthony Palos, this is our last email. Anthony Palos writes in his top five. Excuse me. His number five is Sister Mary Clarence from Sister Act 2.
Fuck yeah! Yeah!
I love that. His number four is Wade Garrett from Roadhouse.
Now, okay, I had this discussion over the weekend.
Really?
Yeah. And, yeah.
With Anthony?
With Anthony and I, we went to a bar, we talked some Sister Act, a little Roadhouse, the usual get-together. We punched a guy in the neck. You know, it's how we do it.
His number three is Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec.
Not a mentor.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I haven't seen it. His number two is Grand Admiral Thrawn from Star Wars. Now, I think this is from the books.
Oh.
The Thrawn trilogy.
Okay, yeah, I'm not. Then I'm out.
You can't read.
Can't do it.
His number one is, I don't even know what this is, Boss Spearman from Open Range. Is that the crappy animated? That's Open Season.
That's what I thought was, too, when you first said it.
I don't even know what that is.
All right, we got to do a TV timeout. We got to find out.
Okay. So Open Range is a Western.
That's why we don't know it.
That's right.
Also because it's a Kevin Costner movie.
Ah, I've heard of him.
That's why we don't know it.
And a Kevin Costner Western, haven't even heard of the movie.
What do you know?
But guys, thank you so much for writing in. We always love hearing what you guys have to say.
By the way, hold on.
I don't, Kevin Costner.
Well, I don't mean to just totally shit on his number one. Like, It's not Kevin Costner's character in the movie. That's a fun three words.
Kevin Costner's character.
It's Robert Duvall's character. So immediately, I'm like, I will listen to what Robert Duvall has to say about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I at least at the base level understand that part. But then I'm like, oh, it's a Kevin Costner Western. I'm out.
Sure.
So I'm sure it's a wonderful pick. I just cannot verify it, and I will not verify it.
In fact, I've already forgotten what we're talking about. Steve, thank you guys for writing it. But Steve, we have to move on to this week's Top 5. What is this week's Top 5?
This week, in honor of the Olympic Games, we are doing our Olympic Pentathlon.
Ooh, what do you mean by that?
Wes, this is our first Summer Olympics on the podcast. One of our firsts.
That's right.
So, because...
Like the first time having sex, it's awkward, it's sweaty.
We're going to have to figure this out. It's going to hurt both of us. It'll probably be over real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
So instead of doing our regular subject with our five off of those, we are going to do essentially five different events.
Mm-hmm.
So we have five different kind of questions/Olympic-related scenarios that we're going to answer. We already know them coming into the podcast. We already know them. We're going to say our top five in that way.
Some are simple. Some are complicated. Some will require some debate.
So as you know, there's the pentathlon the Olympics where you do several events in a row. And that's what we're
almost
modeling.
Almost
five. Almost there. Almost. That's what we're modeling this one after. So our first event in our Olympic pentathlon We're going to start out with something easy. Get us grooving on here. Keep everyone on the same track. The first event is when you are watching the Summer Games in Rio right now. What athlete you want to bang?
Steve, I'm so glad you asked. So, you know I have a type. I think I talked about it on the podcast before. My type is the girl next door. And so I pick Cassidy Cook from diving.
All right, everyone, this is where you pause the podcast. Mm. You go and look up
nice hair, nice body.
Yeah, I'm just gonna look at the bigger pictures here and flip through here. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a little something about Cassidy Cook, by the way. That is a Kassidy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do know who this is. This is the girl that dances after everything.
Really?
Yes. So I know you've not watched the Olympics a lot, Wes.
Yeah, yeah.
But at my house, as soon as I get home, oh, my God, there's a bunch of pictures with her and her dogs, by the way. Look at that picture right there.
What? I mean, come on.
So
come on with
that. So the Olympics are on as soon as I get home from work, and I'm staying up later than I normally do because I'm watching Olympics all night.
See, for me, the Olympics are so forgettable. Kevin Costner might as well be competing.
No, Holly and I are watching every night. And Cassidy Cook, great pick, because A, she's an American. All right. Go America. Go America.
Jesus Christ.
And she's super cute, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, like, the way that she stays focused for her competition is that she does the dive and she comes back out, like, she puts her headphones on and she sings and she dances all the way, like, until she does her next dive. Like, she is super energetic, super bubbly,
That's awesome. Fun,
on top of just being a very, very attractive young woman.
Mm.
Good pick, Wesley.
Thank you.
Yeah, very strong.
I hope she's over 18. Didn't think to check.
I mean, I know for a fact my lady is over 18.
It's Helen Mirren.
She is competing in the monologue competition at the Olympics. Nice. My favorite event at the Olympics is women's beach volleyball. And it is not for the obvious reason that it is women jumping around in scantily clad bikinis.
Okay.
That's the second reason I love it. I love beach volleyball. And part of the reason I love it is because I know you and I have been on beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And we have hit volleyballs at some point. So, like, watching them play, I actually have some sort of context for what they're doing.
Sure.
I'm like, wow, this is amazing athletic prowess. And then when the point is over, I'm like, wow, there's some really attractive women in scantily clad bikinis while I wait for the next serve to come up.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. The problem with Olympics in general, not a lot of boobs in the Olympics. All these women are so fit, so trim. They're trying to keep body fat down, all this stuff. Not a lot of boobs going on at the Olympics. Until you find Isabelle Forer, I believe is how you say her name. She is a Swiss women's beach volleyball player. Isabelle Forer, Forrer. And that's the lady right there.
Sure, yep.
Go ahead, do a couple scrolls there.
Sorry, should I swipe left?
always. She is a brunette woman, about 31 or so years old,
uh-huh.
And she's got some boobs on her.
Sure.
And she's got the abs just like all our good Olympians, got the tight abs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's very good at volleyball. They didn't medal, but she's very, very good. She's very attractive.
This picture, she's very intimidating.
She is, I would, as you went with like a young, vibrant, you know, young woman, this is more like MILF category where I'm going to put her. And you know what, though, man? I'm 31 years old at this point in my life.
Like, sure.
Let's do it.
By the way, she's held up way better than you have.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, for sure. Even if she were on her decline somehow, she's still way better than I was at my peak. No doubt.
No, man, solid pick.
Very attractive young lady.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my pick for who you want to bang.
Yeah, which brings us to our second event, our number four, which is, this is where Steve and I picked an Olympic event. And then we're each going to bring two athletes to the table to compete in that event, and then we're going to see how they stack up. Who's taking home the gold? Who's taking home the silver? Who's taking home the bronze? And who's taking home jack shit?
That's right. And we're going to need you guys to write in next week, and you need to rank these guys for us as well. So we're going to, I mean, of course, we're going to debate where we think they should stand. But you tell us gold, silver, bronze of these four people, and of course we're going to the most prolific of all Olympic events, archery.
I mean, everybody won't shut up about archery.
God, just everyone's like, oh my God, did you see archery? Oh, it's so, oh my God.
The way they arched with the archers.
Oh God, their arrows are so hot.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So I think we should, I'll tell you my first pick.
Great.
And then you tell me your first pick.
Great.
My first pick, I mean, it's simple, but his superpower, not even a superpower, his addition to the team is that he is super accurate. It's Hawkeye.
It's a great pick. I can't, when we get into the debate session, I will rip him apart, but it was the first thing I thought of as well.
Okay.
But that's why I didn't put him on the list, Wes. Because it's too easy, Wes.
You
know who I'm going to put on there? I would like to take Katniss Everdeen.
I thought of her, but before we talk about that, I just want to point out how you said Hawkeye would be too easy, because that's what I want in my Olympic athletes. I want somebody who doesn't make it look easy.
Sure, fine.
Okay, well, my number two pick is basically the DC version, Green Arrow.
Great, he was the second thought I had. However, the real truth is, I don't know shit about Arrow, so I didn't put him on there.
Okay.
So it's harder to rip him apart, but I'll get there in a moment. And again, I knew these would be your two, Wes. I knew these would be your two.
Really?
So, you know what? I'm taking the underdog team, and that's why we're going to win. That's why I'm taking Robin of Locksley, Robin Hood.
You know what's interesting? Those two were the first two that I thought of.
Really?
Katniss and Robin Hood.
These were my third and fourth I thought of, and those were my first two I thought of.
See, Hawkeye and Green Arrow, third and fourth.
Weird.
Isn't that weird?
That is super weird. Pitch me Hawkeye.
Well, it's simple.
All right, Hawkeye's stupid.
These two characters, their quote-unquote superpowers are the fact that they could shoot arrows super accurately. And in the movie, Jeremy Renner, there's plenty of shots of
him. And his balls.
There's plenty of shots of him looking away, shooting an arrow, and hitting the target. Green Arrow, he has, before I looked him up, he before has, to show off his accuracy, has hit a droplet of water from a leaky faucet with an arrow from yards away as
like
it's
what?
Falling.
2 yards away?
I don't
Hundreds
know.
Of yards?
Hundreds of yards. They're like a sniper arrow shot.
Dozens of yards? How many yards?
Let's say 30 yards away.
Five.
Yeah, let's just say that.
All right, I would like to point out first that Wes got he didn't pace himself well in his debate, and that he got so jacked on the first thing. And then, when I get to Green Arrow, excuse me, I need some way to bring it back down, because I can't rev at 10 all the way through. Let me tell you why my team will win. Let me tell you why.
Why?
Do you remember? Of course you don't, because you don't give a shit about sports. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Do we remember the Olympics? The American hockey team? Do you believe in miracles? When the underdog can rise up and it can take the power of what is supposed to be an unbeatable team of super mutants. Because that's what you got. What you have are superheroes. They are concocted to be able to do things that are beyond what humans are supposed to be able to do.
Yeah, and that's what you have on your list. Two humans.
Until they are usurped by the best humanity has to offer. And that is Katniss Everdeen, and that is Robin Hood. First, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you why Katniss Everdeen. Katniss Everdeen has learned the ancient art at that point of archery, passed down from generation to generation, that she is the last true archer. All the knowledge of all archers has been funneled down to only one vessel, and that vessel is Katniss Everdeen.
I think you're giving her way too much credit. All the archery knowledge has been implanted within her, in her fertile womb.
So, I mean, 90%, and then I know that Gale also can shoot an arrow, so that's 10% for him. So 90-10. 90-10. I mean, Gale would be good too, but no, it's Katniss. Katniss Everdeen.
I must have missed that in the movies and the books. So they talk about how she is an archery prodigy.
It's not my fault that you can't read or view things. Let us not forget as well that Katniss Everdeen shot down a fucking spaceship.
Oh,
with
yeah,
because
that's a small target.
Hey, it's more than a drop of water. That's why I'm pitching Katniss. I'm pitching Katniss for silver. She's the silver medalist. Because I'll tell you who the gold medalist, the greatest archer of all time, and that's Robin Hood. Because I'll tell you what, Katniss can shoot down a spaceship. That's fine. Robin Hood can split arrows with his own arrow.
That's true.
Robin Hood is so. Katniss Everdeen has not only does she have years of diluted Robin Hood knowledge that comes to her eventually. Robin Hood is the man in the era of archery that is the best at archery. Everyone, every single person, children, women, princes, everyone had bows and arrows in Robin Hood's day. Everyone. Mm-hmm. And he was the best. By far was the best.
He's good.
No, he's the best.
Well, in
that's
that
why
time,
the best win gold medals, Wes.
See, he was the best in that time until Hawkeye and Green Arrow were born.
And actually, Robin Hood, I believe, is the only one of these that have been tested in competition-style conditions.
Okay. I just want to point out that you opened your list by saying my two picks are superheroes,
right,
meaning they do things better than regular humans.
Now that's...
And then you went on to list two regular humans.
I'm saying that sometimes a little bit of adversity is what you need to overcome and achieve your best.
But we're not pitching an archery movie where
right,
that would happen. We're talking about an actual archery event.
Are you saying that there would be no? Are you saying there would be no adversity in this event?
Oh, there will be adversity.
Thank you.
But Katniss and Robin Hood will not rise to the occasion because they are not superheroes. They're regular humans.
And actually, I feel like after a drug test, you're both of you guys will be disqualified anyway.
I don't think so.
So I think that the human qualities of my participants is what will propel them to victory over what is supposed to be the expected cruise to victory by the superheroes. They will be lax. They will be on their heels.
Yeah, because Hawkeye and Green Arrow are famous for being lax.
Correct.
Here, okay, let's see. Okay, I'll give what I think will happen, and then you give what you think will happen.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think we're going to agree. I think it'll be Green Arrow, gold. Hawkeye, silver. Robin Loxley, bronze, and Katniss is going back to District 12.
I disagree. I think, because the real plan is Robin Hood and Katniss Everdeen turn and shoot both of your dudes in the head, taking gold, silver, and bronze. So, actually, I get the bronze. So that's what it is. They get gold and silver, I get bronze.
All right, guys, you have to write in next week, and you got to tell
you,
us.
Actually, what I honestly think happens, fine. Hawkeye goes and gets a bullseye. Katniss goes, and she's slightly off to the side. Mm. Green Arrow goes, and he's right next to Hawkeye, right there. Robin goes, and he shoots two arrows at the same time, splitting Arrow and Hawkeye's arrows at the same time. And it's somehow, like, knocking them off, putting Robin Hood's in, and, like, somehow, like, finagles Katniss's down a little bit more. That's what I think happens. Robin goes last, and Robin slaughters everyone. I think it goes Robin, gold. Your two dudes, silver and bronze, and I think Katniss also goes back to District 12.
Okay. So we're in agreement with Katniss?
Yes.
Okay.
But she is the one I would want to bang the most.
Steve, I think you're mixing up our bottom two events.
Well, I'm not a smart man.
All right, Steve, what is our third event?
Third event If you had to take any current Olympian in the Rio 2016 Games and use them as a Mortal Kombat character, who would you use, and what would their fatality be?
Steve, who did you pick?
I'll tell you who I picked. I kind of started thinking, we said Mortal Kombat when we originally were talking, but I kind of got on the tangent of thinking kind of like a Marvel versus Capcom kind of fighting, or a Tekken mm-hmm. Tag kind of thing. And again, I'm going back to the world of beach volleyball. Part of it is because I just watched it last night, but they're also two of my favorite Olympians. And it's going to be Ross and Walsh Jennings. They are the women's volleyball team. So it's two women on the team, and the real answer is Carrie Walsh Jennings. She's won 3 gold medals. She just won the bronze this year. The reason I want to use her is because I feel like the game of volleyball lends itself fairly well to a fighting game. Like diving on the court with like a low punch. You've got the two-handed uppercut, which is the bump. Mm-hmm. You've got like, you're using your arms a lot in volleyball. So there's a lot of violent attacks coming from the arm region. And then I was like, the real reason it puts me over the top is because what's the mantra of volleyball? It's bump, set, spike. So this is what I want to see. I want to see Carrie Walsh Jennings. You are my opponent. You come in with some sort of like jump high kick, and Carrie Walsh Jennings, she gives you a bump, which shoots you up into the air. And then Ross comes in from the side. You like the tag out maneuver. She comes up. She does like the set, mid-air set, which pushes you even higher into the air. At that point, you tag out again to Carrie Walsh Jennings. Carrie Walsh Jennings comes in for the spike, and that's the fatality.
Okay.
The spike. It does like the slow-mo. She does the wind-up punch to the head as the head just explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Head explosion.
Mm-hmm.
All bits everywhere. As the body comes flying back down to the ground, as it hits the ground, splatters on the ground, and then you see the two ladies high five, smack each other's butts, and that's it. Then you're out. Bump, set, spike, head explosion, body splatters on the ground.
Nice. You know why I like that pick? Because you really thought about how they would actually fight.
Yes.
See, I didn't really think about that. I only know a few Olympians, because obviously you just mentioned I don't watch the Olympics. And so I picked Usain Bolt.
Okay.
Well, the fastest man ever recorded.
He's known as the fastest man alive.
Yes. And see, I picked him because he was the first. Not only is he 6'5", 207 pounds of rock hard lean muscle, his fatality would be him, like picture in the game, he'd be like the Flash.
Right.
He'd be running so fast, he'd be a blur. So his fatality would be he'd run past you and punch you in the face really hard. And as you're spinning around from being punched in the face, he's running back at you and he punches you in the face again. So you're spinning around from that second fist in the face. He runs at you a third time, and then he's going so fast, he actually punches through your skull.
So he's gaining speed every does he like circle the earth as he...
No, it's more like he runs at you, punch, he stops, then he runs back at you full speed again, punch, stops, then he runs back at you full speed again, and then this time he has enough speed that he actually punches through your skull. And I want him to, like, you see the bloody fist as it punches out the back of your head. I want him to drop something like your eyeball or something like that.
Actually, if it's Usain Bolt, he drops a gold medal.
Yeah, why not? There you
that's
go.
What he that's what he drops.
Sure, sure, sure.
I want Usain. So I think one of his moves during the fight is going to be like the E Honda from Street Fighter 2.
Sure.
The thousand hand like chop, because he's so fast. He's got to have like just working you over like a speed bag. He's got to give you all those hits. He's got to use those speed in that way. What else? What other moves in the fight is Usain Bolt bringing to the table?
I have to imagine. Those legs had to be freaking strong. So maybe more like a Chun-Li kick.
Oh, sure. So he's got the thousand leg kick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's also got the thousand hand punch kind of thing.
And I have to imagine, I don't think that any Mortal Kombat character has this, but the what's that called when you're like, you're about to
the blocks.
You're at the blocks.
Yep,
and you're in that stance.
The same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then he runs full force at you and like spears you or something like that.
Yep, I was saying the same thing. That it's a, like it's a shoulder charge,
mm-hmm.
and instead of like a low kick, he does a block takeoff, like shove, like blast you against the side of the arena.
Yeah.
So I would play as Usain Bolt. I would play as him.
Yeah.
But I would rather play as Carrie Walsh Jetting.
Well, that's why you picked her.
That's why I picked her.
All right. Our fourth event, our number two, what we would add to the Olympics, whether that be another event or something else, just something we would like to add.
Wesley, please tell me, what would, if because you've been watching so much Olympics, tell me what you would like to add to.
So, I couldn't I'm glad you told me before the podcast, instead of adding an event, let's just add something. Because I could not decide on what wild animal event I wanted to put in the Olympics. I thought of crocodile wrestling.
Oh, okay.
I thought of, like, hungry bear in a pit wrestling.
Wow.
I thought of racing wolves. You know what I mean? Just, like, I want wild animals in the Olympics. Like,
okay.
Yeah, you know, like, let's put Usain Bolt against a wolf. A cheetah. Or a cheetah.
I like that you keep saying wolf. And it's not like the fastest animal at all.
But, you know.
you know.
I mean, come on. But, yeah, put Usain Bolt against a cheetah. A cheetah wolf.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good Lord. Let's, we got a boxing kangaroo.
Wait, so what are you at? Are you just adding?
Wild animal events.
You're adding.
In general, I just want to see wild
animals. I mean, you don't really want to add wild animal events, or do you just want to add wild animals to events as they are now?
I want to add both. I want wolves and cheetahs in the races.
Wow.
I want wrestling bears. I want wrestling crocodiles. I want boxing kangaroos.
Because I'll tell you right now, the idea of watching like a gymnastics floor routine and then a gladiator-style tiger comes out of the floor, like, that excites me.
I would watch that.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Can you imagine performing on the balance beam over a pitch of snakes?
There we go. Now we are cooking.
Now we're talking.
Let's add some real stakes to this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's gold medal or death. That is. What if that were the case? Like if you, so you didn't guarantee death,
uh-huh.
You know, like, so it's not gold medal or death, but like gold, like obviously the top three, you probably didn't die,
yeah,
obviously.
Sure.
But like, if you're a country that like, we're just really glad to be in the Olympics. It's like, now hold on. Like, I know we're Uganda and we're sending our very first female gymnastics performer. Like, she could fall into a pit of vipers and die. Like, do we want that? Do we think she can win? We know she can die.
Yeah.
We know she can die. Do we think she can win?
And they all don't have to be violent, deadly animals. Instead of a pommel horse, let's just get a horse. And
okay,
then try to
sit
on top of that shit as it's cantering around.
Sure. Yeah. Because, I mean, we already use horses in the Olympics.
I mean,
which, by the way, I watched a woman get tossed off of her horse.
Nice.
Instantly disqualified.
Okay.
From the rest of the Olympics, she's out. She was in the Olympics for approximately 19 seconds, and then her horse bucked her off, and she's out for the rest of the Olympics.
Oh, that'd be so insulting. You fall off the balance beam into a pit of vipers, die, and then you're posthumously disqualified.
Was she disqualified because she died? No. She was disqualified because she fell on the vipers. She died also because she fell into the pit of vipers. They happened to run hand in hand.
So that's what I want to add. Wild animals / actual life and death stakes.
Okay. I mean... I don't hate it. I mean, the idea of like them doing a swimming event and like putting jellyfish in the pool. Like,
oh God!
Some electric eel, or even just not even things that will kill them, just stuff to get in the way.
Sure.
Like they put a whole bunch of octopus in there. It's not gonna kill them. It's just gonna be weird and like yucky.
Oh yeah.
Everyone's just gonna say yucky. And here we are for the men's 800 yucky swim. Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd watch that a lot.
Same here. So what are you adding, Steven?
I mean, this is not laughy haha. I truly 100% want this to happen, and I think they should do it.
Okay.
And I want them to add average guy to every event.
Why?
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Because as I was mentioning before, beach volleyball. Most of us have stepped foot on a beach. Most of us have at some point hit a volleyball. Mm-hmm. Where you'd be like, I understand the context of what is happening. Like women's 100-meter hurdles. I've never done hurdles.
You've never been a woman.
I've only been a woman. Never actually.
Yeah.
I've never done like triple somersault with a twist synchronized diving. Like I don't understand what it takes to do that. So what I want, let's take 100-meter hurdles, for example. I want the, whatever, 8 lanes of the ladies there. They're lined up. They're obviously world-class athletes. And then maybe, like, 8 feet off to the side. So he can't, like, do anything to affect the actual running of the event.
Yeah, yeah.
I want them to be like, hey, dude in the stands, you got a beer and a hot dog? Come on down here.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on down here, dude. And I want them to be like, 3, 2, 1, boop. And then you see them break out of the gates, and the ladies jump. They're just right over the top of the hurdle, and at the top of the screen, like almost in like a picture-in-picture, you see you. You see the representative of you.
Uh-huh.
That the ladies run it, I don't know, we'll say whatever. Say they run it in 19 seconds. I don't know, whatever they run it in. And then your dude comes in at like, he's fallen 6 times. He's bleeding from his knees. He has a tweaked ankle. And he rolls in at like 59 seconds. And you're like, holy shit, those women are fast. Oh my God, they are fast. And like, imagine a swimming event. It's a 400, just like regulars, you know, freestyle swim. They finish it in whatever, 2 minutes. I don't know, whatever the time is. The dude has only done a lap. He's holding on the side, like the floaties in between. You're like, oh my God, how did they do that in 2 minutes? They swam literally 8 times further than he did. And he's not even done. He did a lap. I want to have that, like, that anchor, that way of like giving me perspective. And like, they could even add in, not even just like average dude out of the stands, they could add in like, this is the best high school athlete at this.
Sure.
Like, I just want the dichotomy. That's what I want to see.
Cook County's fastest sprinter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Like, oh my God, dude. I went to my nephew's high school track meet, and this kid was flying. Oh my God, he slaughtered these kids. Cool, throw him over there. Oh my God, he got slaughtered. He wasn't even close. And that kid's way faster than I am.
Yeah.
I just want something to give me, you know, perspective. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. So I want the average Joe picture in picture on that. And by the way, the best example of this, you should YouTube it right now. There's a dude, his name is Rich Eisen. He works for the NFL Network. He does a podcast. Wes, you know that every year they do the, before the NFL draft, they do the combine, which is basically all their measurables. They do like a 40-yard dash, a standing jump, blah, 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 like all these little drills. And then one of the main things is the 40-yard dash. So all these guys run like a 4.3-second 40-yard dash. Rich Eisen, in his suit, got on the 40-yard dash line, and they filmed him. And then they do, like, so they filmed him, and then they overlay the other people that ran the combine. Like, these big, fat offensive linemen smoke Rich Eisen.
Jesus.
Like, then they show, like, the fastest wide receivers that just, I mean, it's, and they superimpose it over his 40-yard dash time.
Mm-hmm.
It is phenomenal. If you are a sports fan or not, You should watch it. It is fantastic.
I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to watch it, because like, that sounds awesome.
We're doing TV Timeout right now.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Right?
That would be really funny.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that. All right. That's what we want. We want animals, and we want the average Joe versus those animals.
Well, speaking of the average Joe, Steve, what is our number one?
Number one.
Event.
We're talking about average dudes. We're talking about you and me. We're talking about if we were... We got a call from the United States right now. Like, guys, something awful has happened. Everyone else is dead. We need you to come down to Rio and represent our country.
You guys are the last two people we wanted to call, but you are our last resort.
So we need you to come down. Wes, what event would you be the best at, and what would you be the most embarrassingly awful at?
Okay.
Let's go bests.
Bests. My best. See, I took a look at all the events,
yeah.
And the only one I thought I could even do was the trampoline. I had a trampoline growing up for years. So I know I could bounce on a trampoline. I could do tricks. I could flip around. Like, I could do the trampoline. I wouldn't place, but I wouldn't totally embarrass myself.
That is a surprising pick.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you think I would say? Staying up isn't an Olympic event.
I honestly don't even know what I thought you would say. I honestly don't know.
Yep.
But trampoline wasn't the thing.
Yep. That's the only one I thought I could actually do.
If there was a trampoline in the room right now, and we were outside, I should say, could you do a flip on a trampoline right now?
Yeah.
Could you do a double flip?
No.
Okay. So basically, Wes is being flown down to Rio to flip on a trampoline once.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, I mean, there's worse. Believe me, there's worse.
I used to be able to do a backflip as well, so hey.
Oh, so do you think you could do, with like an afternoon of practice, a bounce, bounce, front flip, bounce, back flip.
Ooh.
Back to back. Just go front, back.
Ooh, man. Why not? It's a hypothetical world.
Right? Come on.
Yeah, sure.
No one's going to check me. All right.
Exactly.
How many, honestly, do you think you could do flips in a row before you either fell off or died?
Two?
Okay.
Yeah, honestly.
All right. Hey, it's more than I could do.
Yeah. So there you go. Trampoline.
So I know this sounds ridiculous because it has the most professional athletes in it. They get paid millions of dollars to play this. But it's really one of the only games that I like truly understand.
Okay.
And I like, if I had to go down there to play one thing, we're talking about the best you can do in something that you're going to universally be the worst at.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So we're talking mild increments of goodness here. So the thing that has the most mild increments, the small increments of goodness, would be basketball.
Oh, sure.
It's just because I understand the game of basketball and like I know how the game is played, and because it is a team game,
you just be on the bench the whole time.
I mean, like, assuming that I'd have to be put in the game for a couple minutes here and there, like,
yeah.
I mean, I could at least somehow be hidden by my other teammates, like if we're playing some sort of really, like, if we're playing like, you know, whatever, like, you know, the South African basketball team or something like that, like, they're obviously miles better than I will ever be. But
oh, yeah.
It's not like we're playing, you know, like an NBA game. There's at least a little bit of a talent drop off. Like, again, I'm incredibly overmatched in every way possible. But it's a team game, and at least I kind of know what I should do.
Uh-huh.
And my other four teammates on my team could pick up my slack.
Yeah, you'd never get the ball.
No, God, no.
Yeah.
And because the men's basketball team is so heavily favored, they're like, having such a handicap as myself, like, almost just kind of, like, levels it a little more. So, like,
that's the other way I describe you to people. He's a walking handicap.
Thanks, Wes.
You're welcome.
The other thing I thought of was golf, because I'm not good at golf, but, like, I understand the game.
You know how to play.
I know how to play the game of golf. But I'm like, oh, that is an individual one-on-one game against the best in the world.
Here's something. I was on the golf team for 1 year in high school until I scored a 94 on nine holes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like, Wes, a 94 is not, like, horrible. That's really not.
Nine holes.
Yes, it is.
It was rough.
Yikes.
Rough.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right. So now, Wes, to the true meat of this event. What would you be cripplingly bad at?
Oh, the rest of it. The rest of the Olympics.
No, one event.
Okay. I thought of two. Like you say, one event. Okay. Well, I have two. The first one I thought of was judo, just because I'd be instantly dead.
Because my first fatality ever in the Olympics judo competition. Yeah.
I took 2 years of Tang Sudo in high school. So I would get to the fighting stance, and as soon as I do that, I'd be on my back on the ground. So
okay.
That's the first thing I thought of. But in reality, the worst thing that I'd be so horribly, embarrassingly, as you say, cripplingly bad at, sprinting. The worst.
To be fair, I would like to tell a quick little ditty about Wes sprinting.
I think we talked about it on the podcast, but go ahead.
Just the recap. It was my bachelor party, right?
Yep.
For my bachelor party, I wanted to have some sort of athletic competition.
No, it was for Mike's.
It was Mike's. Yeah, it was Mike's party. Bachelor party. Wes ran against me in a 40-yard dash, and I slaughtered him.
Yeah.
And then he ran against our buddy Dan, who is very overweight.
Yeah.
And Dan beat Wes as well, and Dan is not fast at all.
I am surprisingly slow.
And the best part of that whole thing is Wes beforehand was like, you have to understand, I'm shockingly slow.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, Wes, you're tall, you've got a stride. He's like, no.
You don't, it doesn't make physical sense. I am surprisingly slow.
It looks like Wes is running underwater.
Yeah, it's crazy. One of my first memories, I can't say that, but one of my memories from elementary school, in fourth grade, we did a 100-yard dash. So, you know, I this is my first time ever doing something like this, ever racing. So I was up there and I'm like, okay, yeah, even then I was thin and skinny put together. I was thinny. And I was, you know, a little bit taller. It's like, I got a big stride. Like, I'll kick these guys' ass.
Yeah.
And I go as fast as my little legs can carry me, and I watch everybody else shoot ahead of me. I was so downfallen, crestfallen.
Crestfallen.
Downtrodden. About two-thirds of the way through, I just gave up and walked the rest of
really?
The way. I was like,
oh.
Guys, I'm sorry. This sucked.
I like that halfway through your apology. I'm sorry.
Guys, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry for this body. I don't know what's happening.
Because you look at me. I'm tall, skinny. I don't look unathletic. Like, it's just, I don't know what it is.
Wow.
I don't know.
Man.
I walk so fast, but I run so slowly.
You run at the same speed in which you walk.
Maybe if I tried walking instead of running, I would beat people at races.
Well, Wes, the thing that I would be the worst at, because we're talking about, like we just said, we're talking about just tiny, tiny little fractional being better at something, because we suck across the board at all of these events. Like, so what would be the worst? The first thing I thought of was men's synchronized diving.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the other person, and I can't dive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be synchronized, nor would I dive. But I was like, but it'd be over so fast
mm-hmm.
that I'd be awful briefly. I was like, what would really be the worst? And then I figured it out. The clear answer is men's decathlon.
I thought you were going to say men's wrestling.
I thought about wrestling, too, but it'd be over so fast, and I'd probably die.
Yeah.
The reason the decathlon is the worst is because the decathlon is 10 events over 2 days with continuous scoring as you go.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to read to you, because, agreed, we would all be bad at all of these things.
Yeah.
But you need to be bad at all of these things in the same, essentially, event.
Yeah, yeah.
So my event, day one would be this. I would run 100 meters and be embarrassed. Then I would do a long jump and be embarrassed. Then I would do a shot put. And I would be horribly embarrassed. Then, so we're going to go 100 meters, long jump, shot put, high jump. Then I would finish my day with a 400-meter sprint.
Oh, my God.
Then I would go to bed, and I would be so embarrassed. Then I would finish the next day by doing 5 more events, which would be the 110-meter hurdles.
Oh, boy.
I would do a discus throw, a pole vault, a javelin throw, and then just to round out my complete and utter failure, I would run the longest distance, the 1,500 meters. It would be 10 horribly embarrassing events all compiled into one.
Oh, my God.
It would be horrible. Horrible. Because even if you're like, if I decided to run the 100 yards like you did when you were a youth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gave up 2/3 of the way through. I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'm done. If I did that, that's only one of 10 events.
You have 9 more to go.
Like, what? I mean, and I just have too much pride to be like, shot put? Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I would throw it the 6 feet.
Yeah, if that.
If I could throw a shot put 6 feet.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure they're throwing a thing like 36, 40 feet. Something like that. I could throw it 6 feet. I could be 1/6. But that'd be so awful, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It'd be so awful.
Yeah. And you have to keep doing it.
Every.
And keep getting scored. Terribly.
And then I would have to go to bed, think about what I've done, and then prepare for the next day of it.
You try to sneak out, and the Olympic guard is like, no. You have to finish it out.
Wait, aren't you that dude everyone's laughing about? We need you for one more day, friend.
And up next, Steve! The entire crowd bursts into laughter.
Woo! Sarcastic woos. Oh, God, it'd be the worst.
You'd be the William Hung of the Olympics.
Wow. That really kind of put that in a different perspective.
Yep.
An accurate perspective.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's like watching William Hung do 10 auditions, though.
Yeah.
Nobody is with William Hung for 10 auditions.
Well, you know, he did put out a record. A CD.
Right. No one bought it, but he did it.
I downloaded it.
But, like, everybody watches, you know, whatever. If you're going to watch the Olympics, you watch these things.
Yeah.
You'd have to watch them 10 times. Do you think that you and I would be so horrible in the decathlon that they would actually, like, live cut to us? Like, if it's, like, in the middle of, I don't know, like, swimming or whatever else. They're like, oh, and here it is. We have Wes and Steve running the 400 meters. Let's see how bad they are today.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they would? Or it's so bad they pretend we don't even exist?
Oh, in reality, I think they wouldn't air us.
Yeah, I think they'd pretend we didn't exist. And we would become internet sensations.
That's right. They'd focus on the people up front, and we would be nowhere near them.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
The only time they'd see us is, like, at the start of the race.
And the gun sounds. And let's cut to a different event. All right, let's go through our pentathlon here. So, again, our number 5, who you want to bang?
Cassidy Cook, diving.
Strong work. Isabel Fourier. Mm-hmm. Fourier? I don't know.
We'll never know.
Never know. Number 4. Debate the event. Obviously, Robin Hood and Katniss Everdeen are your champions of archery.
And obviously, Hawkeye and Green Arrow are your actual champions of archery.
That Robin Hood is the legit champion.
We'll never
number
know.
Number 3, Wes.
Usain, our number 3 was, what Olympian would we put in a Mortal Kombat game, and what would their fatality be? Usain Bolt with the running punch through the head.
And I went with Ross and Walsh Jennings, our ladies volleyball team, because they're doing the bump, set, and the spike.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number two is what we would add to the Olympics. I just want to add wild animals.
Which is very, I felt very good about mine, about my average Joe being added in.
I like that.
But I think we add the both. That's it. Game, set, match. We got it down.
All the average Joes would die.
And that'd be fine to watch.
Yeah,
that'd be fine. That's just fine.
Now, number one, C, what is that?
That is our double dip of what we'd be best at, what we would be cripplingly worst at. And the best, I'd have to say it'd be basketball.
My best would be trampoline.
And the worst, put me in the decathlon to do 10 separate events within one event. Oh, God, nightmares.
My worst event would obviously be anything involving running, especially sprinting.
There we go. So we want to know what you guys think about our little made-up Olympic event here. Who you want to bang, what you want to see in the Olympics, what would you be good at, what would you be bad at? We want to know all these things. So by all means, write us in. Wes, where can they find us?
They can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. They can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
So I'm interested to hear from people who are following the Olympics. I'm interested to hear from people who don't give a shit about the Olympics. I want to know.
Me.
I want both sides. That's what we had today. I want to know both sides. Let us know. So thank you guys so much. Facebook and Twitter are coming right after we get our first gold medal.
That's right.
They'll be up. So real soon. Real soon. Not a problem.
But as always, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was 5.
And we're out.